Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. Another Fight Week story is here. Werewolf versus werewolf. Oh my, sounds terrifying to me. Now, let's get spooky. A friend of mine lives in a cabin in the middle of the woods. His internet connection is well enough for me to keep in touch with him from time to time. I told him how stressed I was from work, and he invited me over to stay with him for fishing and drinking over the weekend. It sounded like a short vacation that I needed and agreed. I arrived past noon after getting lost on the dirt road leading to his place. Haas, my old friend, was waiting on the porch. He gave me a wave when I parked and helped me unload my bags and beer I brought along for the trip. "Are you moving in or what?" he asked me while lifting my heavy bag from the back seat. I gave him a playful shove with my shoulder. "It's packed with snacks because God knows no one can eat your cooking," I joked back. Haas had a bad habit of undercooking his meat. I didn't understand how he never got sick from eating pink chicken. Stomach of steel, I guess. I did pack some snacks and I was glad to share with my friend. It only took a short while to get settled in. We put my beer in the fridge, and Haas had already cold ones he put inside a small cooler for our trip. Our plan was to go fishing for the rest of the day. It was a walk to the lake, but totally worth it. I already felt the stress of my day-to-day fading as we walked through the woods. The sun was bright, but not too hot. Overall, a good day to be out with fresh, clean air. Being from a city, I didn't normally get to see such greenery. "Hey Haas, is there camping sites around here?" I asked after pausing on the trail. He looked at me confused and followed my line of sight. Bright orange color was showing through the bushes and trees. It sort of looked like a tent, and he shook his head. "No, but people camp here anyways. It's not a great idea because of the wild animals in the area," he said, and I suddenly felt a little scared of being in the woods. "Wild animals? Like bears?" I asked, looking around as if one was watching us, right at that moment. "Yeah, but they don't mess with us, trust me. The only bear attacks have happened because campers think they're wise to go up and pet them. So camping has been banned altogether because the rangers don't trust people not to be stupid." I nodded, feeling as if it made sense. I thought I heard some places putting a ban on camping during the season when bears were most active for safety reasons. And I also knew some people just didn't care. I looked back through the trees, trying to decide if it was really a tent that I was seeing, or just left behind trash from a lazy camper. "Should we warn them?" I asked. Haas shook his head and started back down the trail. "I'll call the rangers and give them a heads up. Not our problem beyond that." I followed after him, still uneasy over the whole thing. Once we arrived to the lake and got down to fishing, the thoughts of the campers were forgotten. As we fished, we got to talking. Haas asked me about my work, and I assumed he wouldn't understand it because I worked in IT. To my surprise, he knew exactly what I was talking about. I wondered why my friend was in a cabin in the middle of the woods when he could easily fit in the city. We caught enough fish for dinner and started to head back, passing by where I thought I saw the tent earlier. I smelt a hint of a campfire and knew some people did set up in the woods. Cell reception was spotty, so Haas waited until we got back to the cabin with a better signal to report the people in the woods. Our dinner was, for once, perfectly cooked and the leftovers put aside for lunch for the next day. For some reason, I felt tired from such a short day, and we both were in bed by 10 that night. I had never fallen asleep so quickly before. A combination of good food and clean air knocked me out in a few minutes after I'd gotten into the spare bed. I would have remained asleep for the rest of the night if I wasn't rudely woken up around midnight by a frantic banging on the front door. I struggled out of bed, feeling groggy and exhausted. I didn't even know where I was for a few seconds. The knocking continued, and I swore I heard screaming and yelling coming from outside. Haas got to the front door before me. When I was making my way down the stairs, it looked like he was searching for something on the side table before opening the door. Two people poured inside, dirty and nearly out of their minds in fear. They screamed at Haas to close the door. He did so, and locked it behind them, only to have a large something hit the locked door so hard that I heard the wood creak. Whatever it was did not try again. We all stood in shocked silence at how we all suddenly found ourselves. The two people were a man and a woman, I assumed married because they did not look related. I quickly went over to see if I could help and found it to be a mistake. The man grabbed my shirt and I felt something cold and hard shoved into my side. My head became light when I saw that he had a gun in his shaking hands against my side. My heart felt like it would explode from fear from the sight.
"Whoa, whatever is going on, we can..."
Haas started to raise his hand, trying to calm down the situation.
"Shut up. You two are getting the hell out of here, and we're going to take the car. There is something out in the woods, and it's already killed one of us. You could be bait, so we can get out of these damn woods,"
the man said, and kept shoving the gun painfully into my side. I kept myself to stay as still as possible in case one wrong movement would set him off. Something did slam against that door as they came in, but I didn't believe there was something besides a bear out in those woods. From their reactions, it didn't seem like a bear. I was shoved forwards and Haas quickly stood in front of me, being protective. He carefully pulled a set of keys out from his pocket and offered it to the strangers. The keys were snatched from his hand. The gun was still raised in our direction and we didn't want to risk fighting back. We both looked towards the door, debating on our choices. We might be able to fight this man from how shaken up he appeared. However, the gun may go off and hurt or kill someone. Going outside and letting them take the car was a better choice in the end. Haas went first. We didn't see anything out in the darkness as we slowly walked out onto the front porch. I saw how damaged the front door was. Deep claw marks scarred the wooden porch and door. Something large was here a few moments before, and I almost wanted to risk the gun. A loud crack got us running off into the woods. The man fired off the gun. It didn't hit either of us, and I figured it was just to scare us away. I ran, not thinking about what was hiding in those woods. I followed Haas, praying he knew where he was going. After all, he lived in the area. He should know a safe path. Soon, I needed to stop. I was out of breath. Haas stopped in front of me, not breathing as hard as I was. After a few seconds, he started to softly laugh, and I looked at him as if he was crazy.
"What? What's so funny?"
I asked, still panting. Still chuckling, Haas reached into his pocket and showed me two sets of keys. One was the key fob for the car, and the other was what I assumed was his truck. The keys he gave the man wasn't the right ones for our cars. He made a smile even though I was stressed. Those two must be pissed. "We can walk to the ranger station. We just need to follow the road. It should be close by. We can call the cops from there," he explained. "If those two knew about the ranger station, they might catch up to us there. At least we would have some sort of protection if that happened." Hope out of the situation made me forget about the creature in the woods. We started walking at a better pace. The woods were pretty silent, and I expected to hear some sort of animal scurrying about in the dark. The silence around us was unsettling, but I preferred it to the sound I heard before we found the road. Haas stopped, and I nearly ran into his back. I strained my ears, trying to pick up on anything that he might have heard. Nothing. Not even crickets.
What? I started and froze when I saw something between the trees. Two glowing red orbs staring back in our direction. By the time I registered what they meant, the beast was on us. Haas shoved me back, and I tripped over my own feet and crashed to the ground. I could do nothing to save my friend who sacrificed himself. The attack went quickly. A dark creature came through the bushes and straight for Haas's throat. Rows of sharp teeth clamped down, and I couldn't even make a noise as I watched my friend get dragged into the woods. I sat in stunned silence, unable to move. The thing that chased those two to the cabin just took my friend. I didn't even get a good look at it. My mind refused to work or understand what had just happened. Finally, I figured to keep to the plan. I needed to find the road and get to the ranger station. Without Haas, it might be hard, but sitting around wasn't helping me. I started walking again in the dark, jumping at every sound, even if it came from my own feet. It felt like I would start breaking down into tears at any moment. The image of Haas being taken replayed in my mind over and over again. A scream cut through the darkness. I couldn't tell where it came from, and it made me lose all reason and start running through the woods. By some miracle, I stumbled onto the dirt road. I kept running, kicking up dust with each step, praying I was going in the right direction. The moon was out, giving me enough light to see by, but also enough light for anyone to see me. I heard another sound that made me jump. I fell forward, choking on dust, and felt a strange feeling coming from my leg. I sat up to look where the cracking sound had came from. I saw a figure walking towards me, arms raised. It took a few steps, and I realized it was the woman from before, and she was pointing the gun at me. I didn't want to get off the road, but didn't have any choice. I limped off back into the woods, thinking the trees may shield me if she shot at me. To my horror, my leg was already hit. Blood seeped through my sleepwear I didn't have a chance to change out of before we were forced from the cabin. If Haas didn't have sandals by the front door, I would have been running shoeless as well. The shock was keeping the pain away, which was a good thing, but I still couldn't get very far. She might be able to follow the blood trail, or the creature that took Haas would see me as an easy meal. "Come out here and face me like a man!" she screeched from the road, frustrated that she could no longer see me. I wondered where the man went and decided he met the same fate as Haas. I crept along, chest feeling tight from fear. It felt as if every moment was a siren giving away my location. I winced every time I stepped on a twig. The girl stayed on the road, cursing me out and trying to find me. My luck ran out when I spotted orange eyes reflecting in the darkness. They were so close, and I cursed myself for not being able to hear the creature before it snuck up on me. I stumbled back, trying to get away before it attacked. I was unaware of how close I was to the road, and fell onto it and nearly in front of the girl. She let out a yell in surprise when she saw me and fumbling with the gun. The action may have saved my life. The beast came from the woods, the large creature standing above me. Massive paws on either side of my head, it towered over my small human shape. I stared up at the dark fur of its stomach, wondering why it didn't just drag me into the woods. The girl cursed more at the sudden appearance of the monster. She raised the gun, and before she could fire it, another creature came from the woods. It was quick and ruthless. It grabbed her neck, blood gushing from its mouth and onto the dirt road. She gargled and the gun dropped from her hand. She was not going to survive, but it thrashed her body from side to side like an overgrown dog with a chew toy. And it did appear almost like a dog. Its limbs were long and bone thin. Its fur was spotty, making it have a mangly appearance. The second beast looked different from the one who was still standing over me. I didn't understand how I was still alive.
The wolf standing above me didn't move as it watched the other creature tear apart the girl. I heard it let out a deep growl that turned my blood to ice when the mangly beast stopped what it was doing to look in our direction. Suddenly uninterested in the dead prey, the beast turned its glowing red eyes on me. Again, I was hopeless. I couldn't even run if I wanted to. What happened next was something I would have never expected. As the mangly beast charged for me, the wolf fought back. It might have been protecting a meal, but I almost felt as if it wanted to keep me safe. The two beasts started to bite and howl as they engaged in a sudden fight. Fur and blood flew, and soon the dust was being kicked up and it made it difficult to see what was happening and which one was winning. I felt myself silently cheering for the more put-together wolf. If I was going to be eaten, I would rather be killed by the calmer one. I didn't want to be torn apart like the girl was seconds beforehand. I scurried back, trying to stay out of the fight, when I noticed the gun where it was dropped. I acted without thinking. I darted forwards to grab it and nearly took a claw to the back. With the gun in my hand, I felt myself start to shake. I had never fired one before. I was going to be killed either way, so it was worth a shot. The two beasts rolled, biting and clawing. The cuts each dealt slowly healed. The larger wolf healed slower than the mangled one. It was going to be killed if I didn't do something. Gathering up my courage, I aimed the gun and pulled the trigger. Another miracle happened that night. I hit the mangly wolf under its ear. It snapped its head, red eyes glowing with rage directed towards me. That 1 second distraction was all it took. The other wolf flew into action and closed deadly jaws over the mangly creature's neck. The beast's howl was turned into a gargle that sounded similar to the one the girl made. Without any mercy, the other wolf killed the beast in the same way it killed the other prey. I dropped the gun because my hands shook so hard. I could only watch as the wolf dropped the now dead creature to the ground and turned towards me. I accepted that I was going to die in the next few seconds. My legs refused to move. The wolf took careful steps closer until I felt like I was going to faint. Instead of biting my head off, the large wolf nudged my face with its nose. I didn't understand why it was being so friendly. Soon, I got my answer. Before my eyes, the beast turned from a massive wolf to a person I recognized. "Haas?" I asked in a choked sound. He looked embarrassed, and that wasn't because he was naked. He was covered in bleeding cuts, but didn't look like he was going to die from them.
Sorry about this. I didn't think those mangly things were in the woods. Apparently that couple are poachers and killed a pup. I didn't want to kill the parents, but they turned feral and I had no choice.
He started to explain this, but his words didn't really sink in. I was still stuck on the thought of Haas being a wolf a second before.
"You're a werewolf?"
I asked, still unable to get past that idea.
"Well, yeah. I tried to drop hints about being special, different. I couldn't outright say it."
"I thought you were just gay," I admitted, thinking back to all the hints over the years.
"Well, that too." I couldn't help it. I snorted out a laugh.
Haas helped me stand, and he awkwardly started to guide me to the cabin. I trusted him to take care of the bodies. I did have questions, and they needed to wait. My leg was throbbing. I also wanted to keep my eyes forward to avoid seeing my old friend in his birthday suit. I couldn't even offer him any of my clothing because he was twice my size and nothing would fit. Haas got dressed the moment we got back into the cabin. I saw my car door open and the cabin front door open as well. I assumed the couple didn't know how to hotwire the car and gave up and started walking down the road when the mangly beast got a hold of one of them. Haas easily treated my leg and I still didn't ask questions. He sent me to bed and I fell into an uneasy rest and woke up when the sun rose. I met Haas in the kitchen, unsure of what to say.
Are there any more of those things in the woods? I asked him.
He shook his head, feeling guilty. He put a friend in danger.
Then are you all right with me staying for one more day? I did book this time off, after all.
He gave me a smile, looking relieved I wasn't going to treat him any differently.
Do you want bacon with your eggs? He said, smiling again.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.